Welcome to Revolutionize Your Retirement Radio, bringing you insights and strategies to help you create a magnificent and fulfilling second half of life. Here's your host, certified professional retirement coach and best-selling author, Dr. Dorian Mintzer.
I'm Dorian Mintzer, owner of Revolutionize Retirement, and I want to welcome all of you to Revolutionize Your Retirement interviews with experts to help you create a fulfilling second half of life. Without further ado, I want to get on with today's program, and let me tell you about our wonderful guest, who's Renee Lee Rosenberg. She has a master's, and she's a certified career management coach, an author, a licensed mental health counselor, a professional speaker, trainer, and workshop facilitator. She has over 25 years experience in both individual and group counseling, including 10 years phone and virtual counseling, and she helps individuals achieve positive career outcomes, navigate change, and cope with workplace stress. Renee has helped hundreds of individuals create a personalized plan that de-stresses the job search process and helps them to redirect their lives and achieve successful career and life outcomes. She offers informative, results-driven programs for organizations and individuals and has worked from audiences from 30 to 300 nationally and internationally. She's spoken in Amsterdam, Paris, Munich. Her areas of expertise include resume preparation, interviewing, cold calling, salary negotiation, positive presentation skills, and redirecting retirement, as well as also intergenerational communication. Her book, Achieving the Good Life After 50, Tools and Resources for Making It Happen, has helped readers to learn to cope with change and focus on positive job search. She has a practice in New York City. And I must add that I met Renee through the Life Planning Network, but really through the Positive Aging Conferences, and we've become friends. I've stayed with her when I've been in New York. She stayed with me when she's just even recently been in Boston. And I think that you're going to discover, as I have, that she's just a delight to listen to and learn from. So, Renee, I know when you and I were talking when you were here in Boston just last week, we were talking about maybe subtitling your talk, Age is a Mindset. Can you explain a little what you were meaning by this title?
I'd be more than happy to do that, Dory, and thank you so much for that really lovely introduction. I'm very honored to be on the show. So last week, as you mentioned, I was in Boston, and I was speaking at the NCDA conference, and my topic was about a mindset toward aging. And I believe that it really is a perception on how we look at age, that age is really, it's a number, certainly we know that. But Helen Harkness a while ago has said that really we should look at age as we age, not as chronological, but how we function. So it's really a functioning matter, not a chronological matter. But most people get caught up in the hype that 50 is old and that it's difficult to get a job when you're over that age. They get caught up in the media. They get caught up in the language. I heard a wonderful quote that I actually put in my book from George Burns, and he said, "When I was young, I was called a rugged individualist. When I was in my 50s, I was considered an eccentric. Here I am doing and saying the same things I did then, and now I'm labeled senile." So I ask both of you, how do you label yourself? He was certainly a delight and always made us laugh, which I think is also another very important piece as we move forward in our years, to always keep laughter in our minds. And the other thing that George Burns said was, we can't get older. We can't help getting older, but we don't have to get old. And it is a mindset. If we think we're old, we're not. What we are is older, and everyone is older every day. It's really how we perceive and the language that we use.
I think that's so true. And I think just even thinking to the statistic that by the time you're 65, it's only 30% genetics and 70% attitude, lifestyle, mm-hmm. So much of just how we think about ourselves.
Absolutely.
So it's very really important to keep that in mind. You've been a career counselor for a lot of years, and you've had many diverse populations. I also know that you've worked with teachers at the Teachers Union in New York City, or at least I think that you have. And I just wonder, Can you talk a little about what you've seen over the years in the way people search for jobs and what has changed?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. It's changed a great deal, and those of you on the line certainly are aware of that if you are job searching or if you have clients who are job searching. It used to be a whole other ballgame. We didn't have the internet, and so people went to the newspapers and checked the ads. They saw something they liked. They sent in a resume. They got a call. They went in for an interview. Nowadays, people search very differently, but they don't always search correctly. So people now, many of them are searching online and spending way too many hours answering job boards, answering ads on job boards. I'm finding that people really need to have more of an awareness of what's happening in the work world now. They need to be more prepared. And the name of the game now is really, how educated are you to be updated? How aware are you of what's needed? And are you updated? Are your skills current? And I'm finding with my clients that it's not an issue of age. It's really an issue of, do they know what's needed? And are they willing to go out there and learn what's needed so that they can manage their own careers? So the name of the game now is managing your own career and being updated in your skills and your awareness of what's needed in the industry.
So how do you help people, some of your clients, do that? And I love your point that it's not so much age, it's not even, but it's being aware. So what are some strategies of becoming more aware of what's out there?
I wrote the book for that purpose, actually, Dora.
Okay, great, okay. So maybe you can tell us a little of what, you know, tell us more about that. And I have looked at the book, too, and I know a lot of the tips and resources are in there. So maybe this is a great time to talk about why you wrote the book and some of what it says.
Okay. Yeah. The book was really very important for me to write because I felt I needed to read a book like that. And the book is really divided into two sections. The first section is about, read that to you, understanding the process. And the process is, how do you come to terms with the financials, the psychological, and the emotional issues that are connected with transitioning into retirement? Because we needed to talk a little bit about that. And when I started to write the book, I realized that most books on the bookshelf at that time, now there are so many more, which is really terrific. But at that time, most books only dealt with financials and the economics. And I felt we need to know the emotional and the psychological issues and how to deal with those. So much of what I do in my work is helping people move through the barriers that exist in looking for work and their own mental mindset. The second part of the book is about discovering who you are, what you want, and how to find it, and how to deal with illegal issues, and how to keep yourself moving forward, being positive and being challenged. And I think this is a very important piece nowadays, since most of us and most of the people I work with come in discouraged, disillusioned, and falling prey, actually, to the media. And so I try to encourage people not into the media and to just go with what they need to do and what they know that is important to them. A few years ago, Dory, to give you an example, there was an article in the New York Times front page on a Monday, New York Times. Most people don't buy the Monday New York Times because they're still reading the Sunday New York Times. So they had
just
a sale,
like,
and the article said, you, like all of us, right? We don't even look at the Monday paper. But to sell the paper, they had a front page article, big headline that said, people over 55 may never, out of work, may never work again. And so I believe that when people read this kind of an article, it can become very discouraging and very disillusioned. And so my book and the strategies in the book, which I will discuss with you in a moment, I really decided that I needed to get out this important message to people, not to fall prey to the media, not to believe being given to us to sell newspapers, but to really move forward with a positive attitude and with courage that they can really be successful and be happy in the next phase of their life.
But have you found, just for a moment, before shifting to the more positive part, I mean, it does seem like, unless maybe this is a media distortion, but it does seem like that it is harder for older people to get back into the, for some, at least some older people to get back into the job market. Have you found that, or are you really finding that it's more attitude that makes, you know, the key difference?
That's an interesting question, Dory, because most people believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that it's open out there, and if you job search the right way and your attitude is positive, that you can find a job. And not a low-paying job, as many people will say and start thinking, it's not going to be the same kind of job I had. It might not be the same kind, which is really could be very exciting and very wonderful. But it will be a job that you want and that you would enjoy doing. And that's what's really, really important. And sometimes it is a lower salary because many people don't need the additional money. But if you do, then you shouldn't accept one that's less paying and really go out there and get what you really need. And I find my clients and clients at the 5 o'clock club where I run several groups, they're successful. Over 50, over 60. It might take a little longer. But isn't it taking everyone a little longer nowadays? Mm-hmm. Things are much different than they used to be. And it's not really the age issue. It's the entire economy and the job search issue. And how does one do it?
No, that's great. Actually, there's a comment from Elizabeth from Minneapolis who says to you, Renee, that she's so thrilled to be here today. And she really feels that you're right on, that with individuals, that they need to manage their own career, and they do that by staying current and knowing what's needed in their industry. Innovation and self-leadership is so important. So I just wanted to support what you were saying from our audience already, too, that it's that age is a mindset in a way, and that staying current, that one can do that at any age. Now, you call yourself kind of positivity pro. Can you, I just want to, and I know, and I think you just mentioned it in terms of the book, but you do have so many strategies and techniques to assist individuals, and I know you're going to be talking more about that, but what helped you? Have you always been a kind of a positive person? What's helped you see yourself as this positivity pro? Because I think you are.
Oh, thanks, Julie. I do like to see myself as a positive person, and certainly it's very important to stay positive when you work with people who come in and feel a little bit down or very down and feel very discouraged. So I like to use positive strategies to keep people motivated and moving forward, because there's so much information nowadays on how important attitude is and how attitude can really encourage us to really be more creative and more productive and more successful in our lives. And there's been a lot of work written about that. And I just really like to just keep people moving forward. And I believe really in laughter. I believe in the power of humor. I believe in the power of feeling good and keeping ourselves on a level that makes us feel good, because no one will hire someone who comes in without enthusiasm, without excitement, without feeling positive and looking like they're encouraged to be there. Positive is very important, and I like to include it in my work, include it in my life, and I like to look for funny things everywhere I go, because that's what keeps me motivated, keeps me creative, and keeps me on target. So I use it for myself also. It's not just my clients, but it's my way of life. When things start to feel a little down, I start to use some of my strategies. Mm-hmm. I'll discuss in a few moments.
Yeah, no, that's really great to hear. But shifting again to the older population, in your experience, do you believe that there is discrimination against the older worker? From my perspective, it seems like ageism is a real issue, but I wonder what you find and what your thoughts on that are.
Ageism is a real issue, absolutely, and there is age discrimination. We can't get away from that, but there's all kinds of discrimination out there, and this is one of them, and it does exist. But I feel that the worst type of stereotyping of older workers encounter is often the damage they do to themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That older workers believe in these stereotypes and believe in this ageism, and that's where the problem comes in. But does it exist? Of course it does. And also, it's illegal. So why does it exist? So is driving over 55 in some places. People do it. So people do discriminate. There is ageism and there is discrimination. But it doesn't mean that it should stop people from not moving forward and really getting what they need and really going out there and job searching the correct way.
So can you maybe elaborate on what suggestions you have then of what kind of the correct way is? How should older people search? Yeah,
well,
I guess that's my question.
They should be looking for companies that look for people that want to hire them. If you're looking at a company that you know is traditionally a younger company, a startup, which has a very different mentality about how they run their organization, this might not be a place for you. But if you're looking for an organization that is looking for people with experience and knowledge and an attitude to work hard and to really work for the company, then you have a good in. If you're looking, it would be best, I feel, to look sometimes for small businesses rather than large companies, because small businesses, you can really make a difference, and they look for people with experience and knowledge. Also, to be aware of what's happening out there. What kind of industries are starting? What are the industries that are looking like they're retrenching? Don't go for the ones that are retrenching or the ones that are not going to look for you. It's very important to have a knowledge, to be aware, to do your research, and to really be talking to people. I always tell people, talk to alumni, not of your college, but alumni of the organizations that you're looking to work in. People who've worked there, who have left, and find out what is the work ethic, what is the population like? Do they respect older workers? Do they respect the knowledge that you bring in? There are many places. I have so many stories now, Dory, of clients who have gotten really good jobs, who have come to see me thinking no one will hire them because they're too old. But once they've searched to the right places and spoken to the right people, they've gotten positions, they've gotten jobs, and not at lower salaries. I have a gentleman now who just got an offer at a very large upscale food chain, and he's close to 60, and his competitors were in their 30s and 40s, but they told him they really wanted him because he had the knowledge and experience and the background that he can bring to their organization to help them grow and change. So that's what you need to be looking for.
That's so encouraging to hear. Was there another example, too, that you had before we move on to other things?
Yeah, I have another person I just worked with recently who is also close to 60. She's in her late 50s, and she came in to see me. And the first thing she said to me was, no one will hire me. I'm way too old, and I haven't worked in 3 years. That's not the kind of thing we want to hear when we have a new client. Or we want people to think that they haven't worked in 3 years and they're too old and they're not going to find a job. So I thought, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a difficult person to really help. But we started talking about age, and I said, first of all, if you think you're too old, there's nothing I can do. No one will hire you if you think that, because you're going to go in with that attitude. So she said, okay, what can we do then? I said, what are your skills? You haven't worked in 3 years. What did you do before? And she said, I was working in technology, but everything has changed. Okay, what can you do about that? I guess I can upgrade. I can do some study. I can take some programs and look at them. And so she did that. And she started networking with people who she knew 3 years ago. Most of them were delighted to hear from her. And she actually called me up and said, I've got a job offer. And it's a terrific job offer, and I'm so thrilled. And she started working, and then she called me, and she said, you're not going to believe it, but most of the people here are older than me.
Great.
So it's not to get discouraged, to take that energy that you might be using toward feeling bad and refocus the energy to being positive and refocus toward I can do it. And there are people out there who want me. But as was mentioned before, you need to be upgraded in your skills. You need to manage your career. You need to know what people need.
That's great. I have Elizabeth actually come on again and says, right on, Renee. I love the quote, everything begins and ends with attitude. Reading the newspaper and myths about the job search keep people of all ages from positively moving forward with their job search. And she offers an acronym that she likes for the more mature worker is focused on HOPE. So the acronym is H-O-P-E, holding on to peak experiences. Oh, I love that, HOPE. holding on to peak experiences. This has helped them stay focused, positive, and really looking at what they have to offer. Oh, Elizabeth, thank you. That's a great acronym.
I believe that if we can hold on to those type of acronyms and those type of words and language, that's what we need. It's a matter of reframing our language instead of saying, I can't, or I'm too old, or I'm not able, or who would want me, if we just say hope.
Yeah. No, I think that's so true. Let me just remind people, at the bottom of the event page, you can submit your questions or comments, so just keep them coming, and I will integrate them into Renee's presentation. So can you talk more about what's involved in the kind of search you suggest and what your approach is with people?
Great. I'd love to. Just thinking of a quote that I heard from one of my clients just recently, and he said, I'm not retiring, I'm changing my activities. And I just thought that was wonderful. And that's so wide open. It's positive, and it's moving forward, and I'm changing. Change is good, and change happens. We can't prevent it. So changing your activities is a wonderful way to look at moving forward. I'm changing my job search. I'm changing my attitude, and I'm moving forward. So what I love to give my clients, Dory, and I believe everyone has a copy of this, it's on the screen now.
Right, it's on the screen, but don't worry if you're just on the phone. When you go to the event page, when you're at a computer later, you'll be able to see it. So Renee knows that not everybody has it in front, so she'll say what the words are and explain what's up there.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
This is my 9-ingredient pea pie recipe for active job search after 50. And I give this to all my clients, and they keep this as a template as they work through their job search. And actually, it's a 7-ingredient pie, but 2 of the last ingredients I like to call the icing. They're the topping. And we don't traditionally think of icing on a pie, but I like to put icing on the pie. And it's a pie because I like them to draw a circle, such as a pie, and then see how these different ingredients fit into that circle, because we need all of them for a successful job search. And to continue to create new pies, because as they move forward, the ingredients, the percentage of the ingredients will change. Some find that 1 or 2 of the ingredients aren't even in the pie initially, and they can't bake a pie then. So we look at the ones that they really need to work on and work on those the most. But I'm going to take you through these 7 ingredients and then the 2 icings which go on the top, which cover the whole pie and are very essential and crucial to this recipe being successful. So the first one is palate.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second just to tell people you're not seeing this on your screen because it's not up as a slide. It's just a handout. So I just want so people can just listen and not worry. So if you can look where it says handout and you'll be able to have it in front of you if you're at your computer. But if not, just listen and you'll be able to see it later. But it's not up as though it's a PowerPoint.
Okay. Thank you, Dory.
Okay.
So the first one is power. And power is power of yourself. You're in charge. You're the one that really controls the ignition and the brakes. And you can go as fast and slow as you want, but it's your power. And under power is confidence, control, and choice. These are the 3 sub-ingredients. So it really is your confidence that moves you forward, and it's your control. And most important, it's your choice on how you see where you want to go and who you are. And we can choose to accept that we're too old, or we can't do it, or we can choose to move forward. And remember that everyone's perception, as I mentioned earlier, of age is different. And yes, age discrimination does exist, but who you are and how you accept it and how you look at it is totally different, and how the language that you use. So it's your control. Some people see an old car as a piece of junk. Other people might see an old car as something to get you around the neighborhood, and someone might see it as a classic. So it's how you view things and how you accept what it is moving forward. So it's your control, it's your choice, and it's your confidence.
And so what are ways that you help people who perhaps are coming in and feeling like they don't really have a choice? I know that's the attitude thing you were just talking about, but that they don't have a choice and therefore they don't have confidence. So what might be some strategies that you might or use to help somebody in that kind of situation?
I believe that everyone does have a choice. And it's basically changing an attitude and looking at what is your belief system. And I like to help people through their belief system and see what they've done in the past, what they can do now. And it's a matter of looking at assessment and awareness. Who are you? What can you do? What do you have to offer? And if you don't have a choice, if you really believe that, then you really need to be able to change that attitude, because if you don't think you have a choice, then you're not in control and you don't have confidence, you don't have enthusiasm, and it's very hard to move forward. So choice is a very important piece to this puzzle and this ingredient. And I do believe that everyone has choice. And if you're going to go out there and look for work, you need to believe that you have choice, that you can choose how to look at things. You can choose to take a negative attitude, or you can choose to take a positive attitude. There's a wonderful story that I like to tell, and many people have heard this story, of my stepmother-in-law who came back from a very bad trip to the U.S. She was 12 hours in a terminal waiting for a flight to leave the Bahamas because everything was frozen in New York and she couldn't get out of the terminal. 12 hours. When she got back to New York, she was very grateful for the way she was treated in the Bahamas, and very happy and very positive, and felt she had a great flight. I knew friends on the same flight who were just disturbed and upset, and they had a horrible flight and felt that nothing went right. So her choice was to look at it as a positive, and their choice was to be upset and anxious and nervous. So we have a choice when circumstances hit us to look at it from a positive or look at it from a negative.
Great example.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to go on from the next P, because we have a whole bunch of ingredients here to look at. The next one is planning. And you need to be able to know what path you want to take. And I think many people know that you can't have a goal unless you have a plan. So you need to set your goals, get your plan going, and set those goals. And you need to see your possibilities. And to do this, it's important to be flexible, to be adaptable, and to be open, not get stuck. And not get stuck in the fact that you don't have a choice. So if you have a plan, we like to think in terms of long-term and short-term. What can you do immediately? What can you do? What is your intention for your future? What type of, do you want to work full-time? Do you want to work part-time? Are you more interested in work that's seasonal? Are you more interested in really working just temporary? Are you working in project work? Everyone comes in with a different way of what they want and what kind of goals they have. And you have to applaud yourself each step you take. I think this is the positive part, Dory, that you need to set achievable small goals so that you can reach them. Many people come in with very large goals, and it's very hard to get to them. I like to look at this, the analogy of a ladder, that you need sometimes when you set your goals to set them small and achievable, just as you would climb up a ladder, rung by rung. You can't jump up a ladder. And the mistake people make is that they want something that's not achievable immediately. So setting a plan and having a goal is very important.
Great. That's really good. But I have a question. It looks like it could fit here from Richard from Boston. He just wonders, for a client who's in his late 50s and bored with a job, what would you advise? Would you advise them to try to find a new job or try to rebuild the present job, maybe using their strengths more or doing it in some different way given the job market?
That's an interesting question, because I would have answered the second suggestion that if you're bored with a job, perhaps you need to look around and see what else you can do, what you can create in the job that would be more exciting. Look for opportunities. Look for ways that you can volunteer to do things that maybe you're not doing on your job but's needed by the company, where you can stand out and be acknowledged and find things that would excite you. The other answer I would also give, because recently I am finding a number of people coming to me wanting to move into other positions. And that's been an interesting because we're thinking with the economy the way it is, it's so difficult to find jobs. But I'm finding people who are willing to leave their jobs and start moving into a new job search. And many of them are being successful because they know what they want, but they also know how to prepare and plan. I wouldn't suggest just leaving. I would suggest planning, networking, talking to people, knowing your direction, and knowing what your goals are. So I think it depends on the person. It depends on where they're working and are there possibilities of doing things that you can volunteer for and add to your work so it's not so boring. And, or do you want to move on? Do you want to maybe do something different? Sometimes people get stuck in a place for many years and it becomes a habit and they're just not happy and they never will be and they really do need to find something else. But I suggest that you do a smart job search. Don't just leave, but follow the strategies. There are many books out there on how to job search the right way and to really follow them and really get your information straight. But I wouldn't say stay if you're totally really unhappy. I'd say make plans, set goals to move on.
That's very helpful to hear. Let me just mention, I know a couple of people have commented that there is a little bit of scratchiness that is happening when you're talking, Renee. It seems not to happen so much when I'm talking. So I don't know if there's an issue with the phone you're on, but I just wanted to mention it just so that you're not imagining it, those of you who've commented on it, and it's as it is. Hopefully it will improve. But I just wanted to say that if there's some way that you're holding the phone or something, Renee, maybe you can have a little bit of control over that.
Okay, I hope this is better now.
That might be.
Oh, yeah. This is better. I am in Rockaway, Doria.
Okay.
And our wires are a bit.
Maybe because I think you're on a cell phone, and maybe because of that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Not a problem. I just wanted to comment on it. Anyway, back to
your after the planning is preparation, the preparation ingredient. And here I feel that people really need to be prepared. They need to upgrade their skills, as we mentioned before, and they also need to upgrade sometimes their appearance and their nutrition. And we don't think about this that often. I know I didn't. And I actually had a rude awakening when I was giving a presentation in a corporate environment a few weeks ago. And I thought, well, where are my corporate suits? Plus, I haven't worn that in a while. And I took it out of the closet and put it on. And, oh, my gosh, it didn't fit. Some places were too big and some places were too small. And I thought, boy, I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared in what I'm going to wear. I didn't think about it. I thought this would be fine. And I see this happen with people, that many times we don't think about our appearance. We don't think about, do we have the right outfit? Have we bought something more recently that is a good interview outfit? How do we look when we go out in the streets, when we meet people? You never know who you're going to meet in the street. And usually it'll be someone who can get you a job or help you in an interview. So how prepared are you when you go out? Do you go out looking businesslike? Do you go out looking enthusiastic? Do you go out looking like a person who people would be interested in talking to? And nutrition. You know, have you changed the way you eat lately? Have you looked at your diet? All that plays an important role. Do you sleep enough? They find that people need to sleep more to be more energetic and more alert. And many of us, I find myself included, probably don't sleep enough. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared in our training. We need to be prepared in our self-study. And we need to know what obstacles might be in front of us, so that we can understand what the world of work is like now and what the market conditions are. So preparation is an extremely important to learn the appropriate career pathways and to acknowledge what you can do and what you can't do.
But can you elaborate a little more, though, about kind of appearance and nutrition? Because my hunch is that they mean different things to different people. And so what particularly do you mean when you say that?
What I mean by appearance is, are you aware of your dress? Are you aware of your hair? Are you aware of how you're coming across to people? Many of us, when we've worked for many years, we get into a certain habit, a certain style, a certain way of looking. Perhaps we need to look in the mirror and just reevaluate and say, do I look current? And I'm not saying young. This is not about being young, because I talk about how important it is to acknowledge our age. But it's, do you look current? Do you look good? Do you look like a person that people want to hire? I think some of us don't do that. Many of us do, but some people come in to see me and I think, oh my gosh, there needs to be a different change in clothing and works in style, in appearance. Have you looked in the mirror? Have you thought about it recently? And would you hire you when you look in the mirror? Are you smiling? You know, appearance is also part of the way that you look at people. Do you smile at people? Do you have good body language? Do you know how to conduct yourself in a way that people look at you and they say, wow, this is a person who I want to bring on board? Because you never know who you're going to meet and you never know where you're going to see people.
It's an important and often loaded issue of, in terms of looks, some parts of things we can't control, and there's some parts we can't.
Oh, yeah.
I think that the exercising, the nutrition, and really knowing that that makes a difference.
Absolutely.
And it does often have, it does make a difference of how you're presenting yourself and what's happening and how people are going to see you as attractive or not attractive.
Absolutely. I had a woman many years ago who came in to see me, and she said, I never wore foundation when I worked. I said, really? She said, no, and I'm not going to wear it now. And I said, okay, but just what will people think when they look at you? And she said, maybe I should look in the mirror and think about getting a foundation. And some things we just don't think about. We get into a habit of the way we were and was always okay, but now things have changed. And you feel so much better. Nutrition, of course, is important. And as you said, exercise, very important, very important.
Again, another comment from Elizabeth, who says, spot on again, Renee. Three core questions every job seeker needs to ask themselves are, one, who are you, what can you do, and what do I have to offer? And I guess the fourth is really thinking about, and how am I presenting myself?
How am I presenting myself? Absolutely. And I think since that's the fourth, many times we forget that. We focus so much on the language and presenting yourself physically, visually. Not just the language and the words, because the nonverbals really are so much more powerful than the verbals.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I'm qualified and I can do this and I've done this, but you don't look it. What will people believe, Dory?
No, true. And we have a few other comments and questions around this, so let me just, I'm noticing the time because I know we want to get through all but Elizabeth again says updated appearance is very important. Sometimes it can be as easy as eyeglass frame update that shows a person's current.
Hmm.
And then also a comment that a smile is one of the universal languages understood worldwide, and coworkers want to work with happy people.
Absolutely.
Which I think is
smiling
so important.
Is
and then,
very
yeah.
important.
And then Bill from Maine just wants to know what guidelines, fashion magazines, consultants, et cetera, would you recommend for looking current? Just some thoughts on that, and then we'll move on.
I would recommend that you look for role models who are within your age range and see just how they present themselves and how they appear. Don't look at the younger magazines. Don't look, and just look, rather look for the people in the magazines and look for articles and pictures of the people who are your role models.
Great. All right, good advice.
So I'd like to move on. Yeah.
Moving right along, yep.
Magazines, it's the media again, and the media really likes young, although it's changing, and we are seeing changes with older models, and AARP had a visit, I guess, a year ago on the over 60, and it was just wonderful. People over 60 looking beautiful and vibrant, as we all are. Okay, my next ingredient is positioning, and this is about branding. How do you see yourself? How do you rebrand yourself now that you're moving forward and you're out of where you were and you're moving into another job or another career or just another lifestyle? What is your major life change? What is your new direction? And are you authentic in the branding? Lily Tomlin once said, positioning, if you don't know who you are and where you're going, you'll never know when you get there.
I love that, yes.
So we need to know, how do we position ourselves? How do we want people to see us and remember us? How do we want to be remembered? My next key in this wonderful pie of ingredients is to be proactive. And I love the Nike slogan is just do it. Take action. I was speaking to someone the other day who came into my office who said, I used to be afraid to take action because I was afraid I would fail. I was afraid that I couldn't do it. Now I try everything, but I don't think of failure. I just think of, let's try it. And sometimes I can't do it and it's okay, so I do something else. And I think, wow, isn't that cool? Just do it. Take action. People get scared and they get worried to take action. And that's really where the problems lie. And we spend a lot of energy in the fear rather than the curiosity of moving forward. So you need to, I have another quote from a client who said, I was scared and worried at first, but I thought, okay, just do it. I sat down, clarified my goals, got a plan going, new people who were supporting me, and all my pieces were in place. Now all I had to do was get up each morning and take action. Put one foot in front of the other and just do it. So being proactive, we can plan, we can write, we can do our assessment, which people spend a lot of time on. We can write our resumes. But if we don't take action, nothing's going to happen. And we need to remember that it's not just action. It's not just being busy. That's not enough. We need to be stimulated. So we need to throw in a little bit of curiosity into the action. We need to learn to do things differently. And we need to explore. Most people take too much time spending energy on the anxiety of the change and avoidance. Much better to take that action. Just remember the Nike slogan, put it on your refrigerator. I'd love to do that, to put reminders up all around the house, on the mirror, on the front door. Just do it. So that would be the proaction. Got to take action. Very important. And got to include curiosity in your action, because traveling an unknown pathway can make us anxious, but we need to move forward. And we need to move forward. There's always discomfort. I call this the ouch part. It's a discomfort. Sometimes we pull ourselves back towards safety and we want to avoid the danger. We have trouble stepping out of the comfort zone, taking a risk, and feeling the pain. But the pain, if we rub it, you know, you find if you have a pain, if you rub it, it goes away. And so I tell people, rub that pain and move forward and do something different.
And the pain is sometimes what motivates us to do the moving forward, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was a Gallup poll, Dory, a little while ago, that surveyed over 130,000 people from over 130 countries. And they found the two factors that influence how much enjoyment people get from experiencing each day, where their enjoyment comes from, what is the experience. And the result was very interesting. The first one was to count on someone to help others, to have someone you can help. And the second one, which is really very interesting, was to learn something new. So most people think that this is where they're experiencing enjoyment. And think about it. When you learn a new skill, when you feel the enjoyment of something that's different, it's very exciting. And we can take small steps to do that. And as I mentioned earlier, always applaud. This is the positivity. Applaud yourself every step of the way.
Just a real quick comment. I often have people take their hand and just pat themselves on the back.
Oh, wonderful.
A very literal way of doing that. Another form of applaud.
Another form of applause. Yeah. I have people stand up and give themselves a standing ovation. You've done something great. Get up and cheer. Yay. Yippee. Wow. I did it. Which is so important. Get ourselves excited and applaud ourselves. You know that we can do it. Because if we don't applaud ourselves, Dory, who will?
That's so true.
Yeah. So the next one is participate. And this is the last ingredient before the icing. So connect. Be remembered. Go and join groups, join associations, meetings, meetups, alumni. I had a client recently, to give you an example of how important this can be, to volunteer and to participate, not to stay home, to get out and do things. But do things in a place that's going to position you for the next step. Not do things, again, that don't stimulate you and that don't move you forward. So I had a client who was out of work, and he decided to volunteer for the alumni office of his university, who was having an upcoming reunion, and he volunteered to help track down classmates. So he went in, he worked in the office, and the development office actually made him an offer to come in and work there for pay, because he did such a good job in finding the classmates for the reunion. And they said they really liked his mature, easy manner. They found it a real plus. And he never thought that development, fundraising, this wasn't in his previous job. It wasn't in his training. He had boxed himself in into looking for jobs that were similar to what he used to do, and really didn't think out of the box and think, okay, I could do this. So the volunteering gave him the opportunity to do something where he could learn a new skill and move forward and get a job offer. The other part that I always like to talk about, and this goes into the icing with the participate, is to participate to join a support group or have a support buddy. Important to be able to have someone to talk to. However, this is a big however, and this goes along with the positivity. Reevaluate and reexamine your support system. Many times, your support system will change from when you're working to when you're looking for work. Supporters who supported you when you were working might not be the same when you're looking for a job. I had a client, to give you an example, who, when he was working, his daughters were a big support, his grown daughters. They thought he was terrific, doing a great job on his job. When he decided that he was going to a new career, when he lost his job, he was going to be a photographer and travel to Cambodia to photograph and perhaps come back and talk about his experience, his support system went negative. They went toxic. They said, you can't go do that. That's not for you. You're too old. You'll get sick. No one will be there. That's not for you. So this was a bad support system to him when he left his job. So we need to reevaluate and know, is your support toxic? Are they people who are supporting you or people who are saying, you can't do it? Very important to have that in terms of your moving forward. So the icing. I see we have a little time left for the icing, and this is the most important part.
Okay.
And this is positivity and laughter. And since I'm the positivity pro, Dory, you can imagine that this is where this is my favorite part of the recipe. And I
don't have
you.
Go ahead.
I tell people that you can't have a good pie unless you have an icing.
That's true.
And the icing is the best part. We lick off the part that makes it the most attractive. And you've got to cover the pie. All those ingredients have to be covered with this wonderful positivity and laughter, sense of humor. Very important to keep this and to be mindful of it. I saw a joke the other day. And look for funny things that make you laugh. I saw some the other day that said, it was actually someone who had this on their Instagram machine, and then I read about it later, and they said, this is hello, this is not your answering machine, this is the refrigerator. Your answering machine is out, please leave a message and I'll post it on my door. So think of funny things, think of things that can make others laugh and you laugh, because laughter is contagious.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to be mindful and not fall prey to faulty patterns that cause cognitive distortions. And we all, Dory, what percentage of the thoughts in our brain in a daily basis are negative as opposed to positive?
I don't know. What is it?
Those
I'd say probably like 75% are negative.
Right on.
Okay.
Yeah, 75%. So we're really fighting an uphill battle here. 75% of most people's thoughts that run through their brains on a daily basis are 75% negative. And when we think about that, oh, I should have done that. Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I get up earlier? Why did I wear this outfit? Oh, I'm not going to get that job. We never think as often about positive. We're into these cognitive distortions of overgeneralizing, of personalizing, why me? Why did they let me go? Why does this always happen to me? We're concerned. We're in jumping to conclusions, in mental filtering. We think it's all or nothing. This is never got. We use the words never. We use the words absolutely. Words that are negative that pull us down. What I say is try to change your thoughts. And this is one of my suggestions that I give people and one of my little tips and strategies is for every negative, write it down and then write three positives. It's a 3-to-1 ratio. The negative is so strong, we need to balance with three positives and focus on the positive. And it's fun to think of positives because we don't very often. And reframe the negative. Isn't that true? We don't really stop and pause and say, okay, how can I look at this and what are three positives? Or how can I change this around? How can I take this negative thought and reword it? For example, I had a client who the other day went on an interview and said, oh my gosh, that interview went really poorly today. We thought, okay, how can we reword that? And he thought of, how about every interview and interviewer is different. The next one will be better, and I'm moving on. So it's the words that we use. We need to use more positive words. We used to use words about ourselves. And as you said, I love that. Pat yourself on the back. Say how terrific you are. Say how good you've done and how wonderful you can be moving forward. And how much people want you and how important you can be to an organization. Another way to to ignore the whiners, ignore people who finding a negative. And the woman who came in to see me, the example I gave you a little earlier, who said, I'm just too old and I haven't worked for years, she said, and all my friends feel the same way. we all sit around and see how old we are. So my first advice to her was get new friends.
It's so true. We can be so surrounded and pulled down, and you just need to think about how you're either pulling each other down in, quote, the support, or how you need to break out of that. And sometimes it is getting new friends. You're absolutely right. What about, there have been so many really great studies and things that I've read about laughter for one's well-being. What are ways and strategies to incorporate into your life? What are ways to get that part of you going? I hear the great suggestion of 3 positives for 1 negative, but what about with laughter? What are ways to open yourself to that if it's not been so much a part of your life?
I always tell people, look for the funny around you. Look for funny pictures. Look for funny things in the street. Look for people walking their dogs. Look at animals. Animals are just so delightful. I find, and I know your dog makes me laugh, Dory. He's a total delight. Animals are a great way to make us laugh. And look for signs that are funny. The other day, I passed a sign in a church, and it said, paint often. I thought, wow, isn't that wonderful? Instead of pray often, paint often. Okay, that made me laugh, and that was kind of cute. And the other sign that I saw a number of years ago when we were in Trinidad, it said, caution, depression ahead.
Right.
And they were thinking of the gutter in the road, but you know, depression ahead, oh my gosh, who wants to go there? So there are funny signs everywhere. I saw a sign in a store not long ago that said, we don't have it, so don't bother to look or ask for it. There's the funny is all around us. Go out and look and enjoy it. Mm. And smile. Someone mentioned that earlier. A smile. Yeah. Victor Borge said a smile is the closest distance between two people. Smile at other people. Smile at strangers. Smile at strangers. Laughter is just laugh. Just increase your laughter quotient. Laugh more. Yeah. Laugh more hearty. And laugh with others is contagious, and it does work. And it certainly, there's so much research on how laughter can improve your health, your well-being. And Barbara Fredrickson in her Broaden and Build theory said that positive emotions trigger broadening of our mental state and our creativity. And so it's not just for your well-being, it's also for your creativity and for your productivity and for your mental state.
Great, great points. Yep. And what about the other piece of the icing, the other part of the icing, peaceful?
Peaceful, very important to stay calm, relaxed, and accepting. Accepting what is and move forward and try to change what you can, and what you can't, you can't. There's wonderful quotes on that, that we know that we have a choice, and our choice is to, again, to accept, but if we can't change it, we can certainly accept how we're going to deal with it and how we're going to look at it. Is that me? I hope not.
No, it was an emergency flood warning thing that came up on my phone.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. But anyway,
okay.
Go ahead.
So I was going to say, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful of change and emergency flood warning. We weren't fearful, though, but look what happened. Don't be fearful of change. Right. And don't change because of fear. But create positive alternatives and look for the challenges in life. And celebrate the small things and the small steps along the way. Celebrate reaching your goals. Celebrate every day. And learn how to relax, how to take care of yourself, how to eat the right foods, how to perhaps meditate, take some yoga classes, do more exercise, be around peaceful people, and just know that you are in charge and you are in control of how you make your decisions.
Oh, what a wonderful philosophy, Renee. I love that. It is the top of the hour. I want to just integrate. I'm going to go a couple of minutes over just because I know some people have to leave, but there are a couple of other things before you do your other quote. Just Elizabeth made the comment about the importance of drinking water, which kind of adds to health and adds to energy and youthful appearance, and that too often people 50 and over for some reason don't drink enough water. So that's one. And then the important other example of just show up at things that she mentioned. She had a job seeker who worked at a Habitat for Humanity home, and there were other corporate people there working on the same home, and that resulted for that person in 4 interviews the next week because he just started talking to people. So you just have to seize the moment. Then Maura from Paris, who said she had to leave, but she just wanted to say excellent presentation, just really down to earth and practical advice, and that her takeaway is realize your own attitude and language, feed or starve ageism. I think that's such a good way to look at it, that we play into it or not, stay current, and cultivate curiosity. And she just wanted to thank you. And Renee, this has been wonderful. So give us your quote and any other kind of takeaways or any other, I think you've been pulling it together so beautifully, but what else would you like people to hold on to and carry away with them with this talk?
I love the information about water, and actually water is a wonderful thing to keep with you, because when you're feeling negative, if you're drinking water, you can't think a negative thought because you're too busy drinking the water, we found through research. Mm. So if you're feeling a little down, just drink a lot of water. And also crying. They found that when people, and I use this sometimes with people coming into my office, if I think someone's getting a little teary or I'm getting a little teary, I'll just drink some water. And you can't cry when you're drinking water.
Good point.
And this lovely quote that I have from Jean-Paul Sartre is that what is important is not what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us.
That is a terrific quote. Yeah,
that's just a wonderful quote. And from Carol Matthau, who was Walter Matthau's wife, she said, "There is no old age. There is, as there always was, just
beautiful."
And that's who we are. And if we just... Yeah, it's our mindset to take us back to the beginning of our talk story. It's really our mindset. It's how we look.
Right.
And if we just think of who we are, it's just you and how important you are as a person and what you can do moving forward.
Thank you. Do you mind if I have a couple more questions, since a couple more
Not
have
at
come
all.
In? Although
Please.
That was a wonderful way to end, but we might have to have another quote to end if we can do that. But one is just for identifying skills. Are there any tools or books or techniques that you recommend, that you use or that you recommend to people? That's one. He has two questions, actually. That's one of them. And the other is, what if a person's negative support system is a partner or a spouse with whom they've been in a multiple decade relationship? How might that be handled? Good questions, both, but I just wondered if you might want to respond.
I love that question. Because it comes up frequently.
Yeah,
thank
right.
you who asked that.
Still from me.
Oh, Paul, okay. Yeah, that's not an uncommon question, and it's something that I hear quite frequently. What I always say is, don't tell them what you're doing. Remember that this person, think toxic. And if you think toxic, that means stay away from, don't share, don't give them the information. So if they say, how come you're not working, or you're too good for that job, or why didn't they hire you, all those are comments. And what I tell my clients is, don't share with them what you're doing. Don't even let them know you're going on an interview. Just say, things are terrific, things are going really well, I'll keep you posted. Use positive language, let them feel supported and secure, because generally their negativity is coming from fear and anxiety, and they're worried about you. So you want them not to worry about you. So you don't want to get into the negativity with them. You want to say, things are great, everything's terrific, I've got a lot of people I'm talking to, I'm doing a lot of work, I've got a lot of things in the hopper, things are happening. Think of positive things that you can tell to reassure and support them, because they need the support. And don't tell them about your job search. Don't share what's happening. Share it with a job search buddy who can support you and be positive. So that would be my advice for that one. Now, for assessments and for skills, I have some wonderful assessments in my book. and I also,
why don't you say the name of your book again so people can get it?
Achieving the Good Life After 50. And it's tools and resources for making it happen. And in the body of the book, and also in the back of the book, we have two assessments from the 5 o'clock club, where I'm a counselor working with the 5 o'clock club for many years. And I love their approach and I love their process. In the addendum, we have the 7 stories exercise and the 40-year vision. And there's nothing really new, I believe, under the sun. It's just different ways of wording things and looking at things. So the 7 stories exercise is really about stories. And Dick Bowles' book, What Color Is My Parachute, is a fantastic book for looking at stories. And there are so many other, but the seven stories in the 5 o'clock club books and my book talks about looking at things that you've done in your life that you've really enjoyed and were accomplishments. And that's it. Any time in your life.
and nobody had to know about them. They just were yours. They're personal. And I love this exercise because it brings out the skills and the values and the interests all together in these stories, because the stories are very rich. And we want them to be rich, and we want them to be descriptive. And then working with a career counselor to process the threads that run through the stories, the things that pop out in terms of skills, values, interests. I really like those a lot, and I think that works. And the 40-year vision is, where do you see yourself going in 5 years and 10 years? People say 40 years. So we start with 5 and 10.
Great suggestions. So any final, I just want to thank you so much, and I've gotten many comments from people just saying what a great presentation, and take your hand and kind of pat yourself on the back. Well done, standing ovation. But this has been terrific. Any kind of last thought, takeaway that you'd like to share, Renee, before we say goodbye to everybody?
My very favorite quote, and it's a very short one, and I'll say it slowly because people who don't know it might want to write this down, and we can always send it out to Dory also if people like. And this is from William James, and he said, "We become what we think about most of the time." We become what we think about most of the time. It's really like our mindset. That's Renee Rosenberg's quote. It's our mindset. That's the way we look.
No, that's great. It sounds like that's really what you've been conveying today, of be yourself, think about the language you're using, show up, and recognize that your thinking and your thoughts are part of what constructs the who you are and how you present yourself. And that's part of the choice, I think, the reflection and choice that you've been talking about today. It's wonderful. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your wisdom and expertise with us. So thank you, Renee, and have a happy rest of summer for everybody.
Thank you, Dory. It was a pleasure to be on the call with you.
You've been listening to Revolutionize Your Retirement Radio with Dr. Dorian Mincer. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show, listen to past episodes, or download our free retirement transition guide, visit revolutionizeyourretirementradio.com.